It's time for the church of the living God to rip off their mask.
Amen.
Not these. But the ones that we've been hiding behind for decades in this country.
Amen.
It's time that we rip that mask off and start being the church.
Amen.
Start being recognized as the church. We got nothing to hide from. What do you expect when you come into a church service? Do you want to hear somebody make a nice lecture? Do you want to hear some music? You want to maybe sing some songs? Or do you want to be touched in the deepest part of your person? Do you want the fire of God to be lit in your heart of hearts? Do you want to go out of this place different than you came in? What is it you want when you come into this place?
Victory.
We don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to be that lukewarm church,
Amen.
Shane.
Amen.
We don't want to just be here. We don't want to just survive. We are the head and not the tail. We are promised victory and not defeat.
Amen.
But the thing about it is, like Joshua and the generation that entered the land of the promise, we have got to apply some effort to it. He was given not the whole promised land, but every place you put the sole of your foot.
Amen.
You got to possess the land. You got to possess the promise. And you can't do that hiding in your shell.
Amen.
You can't do that not letting the Word of God touch you emotionally.
Amen.
You can't let your logic and your reason and your sensibilities and your pride and the mask that you're wearing, you can't let that insulate you from the touch of God. Otherwise, you're never changed. And if you're never changed, nothing around you is going to change.
Yeah.
What are you hiding behind? What are you ashamed of that you're hiding behind? Are you ashamed people will think you're different? Are you ashamed people will think you're a little strange? Are you afraid that somebody's going to label you a Jesus freak?
Amen. Go ahead.
Who cares?
That's right.
We win.
Yep.
The world doesn't win. We win. Satan doesn't win. We win.
Amen.
What are you hiding from? What are you being afraid of?
Amen.
Think about it. All of our masks are different. We're hiding behind something for different reasons. Fire! Send your fire. Send your rain. Holy oil in Jesus' name. We want the Spirit to move in this house. And not in this building. I'm talking about this house. The house that's in your chest. The heart of hearts that is in you, that moves you and shakes you, that gives you your being. Holy Spirit, cut loose in this people. Stop us from being ashamed. Stop us from being afraid. Stop us from hiding behind the rules of society. Stop us from hiding behind what we think other people will think about us. The only opinion that matters is one. That is the opinion of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only thing that matters. Who cares what the world says? Who cares what your neighbor says? Who cares what your family says? It's time the church started to be the church. It's time that we cast aside everything that insulates us from the touch of God. We want to do something. We want to be something special. We want to be different today than the way we walked in this door this morning. Rip it off. Whatever is insulating you from God, rip it off. But you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my sin is. I don't need to know. There's two people that need to know. You and God.
Amen.
God has made a career in the retread business. Just because you're wore out, just because you got no tread left, just because you think that you have spent it all years ago and you got nothing left to give, I'm here to tell you today, Moses started over at 80.
Amen.
I'm looking around. I don't think we got any 80-year-olds in here. We got a few getting, well, we got Miss B back there. Yeah. He'd start over today. Go to California and possess that land for God while you're out there. Take the Holy Spirit with you and make an impact on your family. Make an impact on people. Humans count time. Humans count failures. God is the God of new chances and new starts and new beginnings.
Amen.
What happened yesterday does not matter. What happened before you walked in this room this morning doesn't matter. If you were going through the motions singing the songs in the song service this morning, it doesn't matter. What matters is what happens from right now moving forward.
Amen.
Cast off the chains.
Amen.
Cast off the shackles. Cast off those chains and bondages that you have put on yourself because of your perceived inadequacy.
Amen.
You know what? I ain't adequate. I'm not good enough. Ain't nobody in this room good enough.
Amen.
Jesus is good enough. And if His Spirit is living in you, guess what? That makes you good enough.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you lost your temper on the way in here this morning and talked about that slow car in front of you till a fly wouldn't light on you. It don't matter. God sees eternity. And God forgets what is past. He wants you to move forward. He wants me to move forward. It does not matter one whit what we failed about. He looks at potential. When he went to the house of Jesse and he saw all those strapping young men, all those older sons, the prophet thought, surely one of these is the one God called to be the king. And as he looked at them one by one from the oldest down, God said, not that one. Nope, not this one. It's not that one either. I'm out. There's no more here. Jesse, don't you have any more sons? Well, yeah, there's little David. Just David. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. Surely you don't want him. He's just a kid and he's a scrawny thing at that. Get him. Because God doesn't look at people the way we look at people. God doesn't see the potential that we don't see. He sees the potential that He has placed in every person. Everybody doesn't embrace it. Everybody doesn't pick up on it. Everybody doesn't make the most of it. In fact, most of us shove it down and bury it because we can't see it in ourselves. We see the worst in ourselves. God sees the potential He put in us. Moses was a murderer and didn't want to step forward and do something for God. God said, you're going anyway. David was the unlikeliest of kings. Gideon was hiding. He was threshing grain in an olive press. He was down in a hole in the ground, throwing the grain up in the air, hoping that the wind would blow the chaff away, but he was down in a hole in the ground. He was afraid. He was hiding. God said, mighty warrior. He's talking about me. Can't be talking about me. Ruth had nothing. She was a foreigner in a foreign land with no husband and no prospects. She was reduced to begging, walking around the fields and picking up what the harvesters left. She had no prospects. She was in the genealogy of the Messiah. How could this be? This nobody, this person who isn't there a passage in Genesis that said a Moabite can never be in the congregation of the faithful? Guess where Ruth was from? Moab. God said, I see your faith. A Roman centurion goes to see Jesus. He's an outsider. He's an occupier. He is part of the enemy. He's part of the occupying army. And after he says, Lord, I understand authority. You don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. Just speak the word and it's done. Jesus said, not in Israel have I found such a great faith. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. There is potential that God has placed in each and every one of us that we ignore, that we put down, that we say cannot be true. And we fail at what our calling is because we have no faith. Do you remember what happened when Jesus had entered into his ministry and he went to his own hometown? The scripture says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. We can thwart the purpose of God in our own lives because we don't believe his report. We don't believe what he has to say about us. Amen. We don't believe the truth of the Word of God. We don't believe that God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and 145th chances. Pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. Quit wallowing in the mud. Scripture says that he pulled us out of the miry clay. Most of us are trying to tunnel under it and hide. It's not about us hiding from God. It's not about us being afraid of what the world has to say. It's about us embracing what God says. It's about what young Samuel was told to say by Eli. When Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God calling to him and thought it was Eli, after Eli finally figured out what was going on, he says, when that voice speaks to you, say, here am I, Lord. Hineni. In Hebrew, it's Hineni. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, send me. Later, another prophet would say those same words. Here am I. God said, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Hineni. We need to be a church of Hinenis. It's time that we quit cowering in the darkness. It's time that we quit hiding behind, well, I go to church when it's convenient and when I don't have a better offer. It's time for us to get out from behind all that stuff. It's time for us to quit saying, I can't do it. When you saw a need up here, I bet something in you said, I can't do it, before you said, I've got to do it.
A lot of said, I can't do it.
Thank you for listening. When this pulpit became vacant, there were a lot of reasons I could have said to myself, no, not me. Not me. But then I realized, yes, it is me. Not because of what I bring to it, but because I'm available and because God can speak through a donkey when he wants to. It ain't about me, it's about him. It's not about what comes out of my head or what comes out of my research. It's about what the Holy Spirit puts in me. You want to know a little secret? I ain't touched these this morning. As we were singing in the back room, the row there, I was standing there in front of the soundboard. And I said, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do this morning. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do. And like I said, I haven't looked at those. This is a fresh word. This is a right now word. This is from God to you because I tell you, it didn't come out of my head. You know that more often than not, I'm a teacher and not a preacher. Honey, some preacher showed up here this morning.
Amen.
The Word of God says that we are more than we think we can be. The Word of God says that we're more than conquerors. The Word of God says that we are a kingdom of priests. And we don't know what that means. You know what first office of a priest is? To go to God on behalf of the people. The priest must first, in the old system, he must sacrifice for himself. But then he goes to other people to minister to God from the people. He's got to go to them. We need to go to God for the people around us. Amen. We've talked about a season of repentance. We've talked about a season of prayer. It is incumbent upon us. No, it is necessary for the survival of the church, for those of us who know God, who know how to pray, who know what the Word says, who are able to see the times and the seasons that we are living in. If we don't go to God on behalf of the people around us, they're dying. And if we're not fulfilling what God has called us to do, what God has raised us up to do, what God has trained us to do, if we're not fulfilling that, then we are useless. We're a rusted tool lying in the backyard. We're not in the toolbox where God can use us. It's time that we started to be who we're called to be. There is no church if the church is not alive. There is no church if it's not active. If we are lukewarm, what does the Scripture say? It said he would like to just spew us out of His mouth. If you're cold, you know you're cold and you can fix it. God can put you not necessarily over the fire, but He can put you in the spiritual microwave and warm you back up. If you're hot, you know you're hot. If you're lukewarm, you're that hour-old cup of coffee sitting in the Keurig machine that I forgot to pick up and carry to my desk. Cold coffee, I can live with it. Hot coffee is good. Lukewarm coffee is fit to either go in the microwave or down the sink, one or the other. God needs a hot church. God can rebuild a fire and warm up a cold church. But a lukewarm church doesn't know that it's lukewarm, and it needs somebody to wake it up.
Amen.
And light a fire under it.
Amen. Go ahead.
Maybe shake it up a little bit. Have we not lived for this last 6 months in a season of shaking? I'm going to take it farther than that. Have we not lived for this last 19 years in a season of shaking? God has been trying to wake up a lukewarm nation, a nation that has lost its biblical foundation, a nation that approves anything and everything for the convenience of the few, a nation that has murdered 60 million babies since 1973. And we wonder why God's shaking us. We wonder why that He has taken those institutions and those things that we have counted on. Why He's taken the reputation that was built over 200 years in a nation and He has shaken it down to the point that we're not sure what we can hold on to anymore. We wonder why that has happened. Let me tell you why that's happened. We departed from the Word and the ways of God. He is merciful, He is patient, He is long-suffering. He has gone on for years saying, maybe they'll turn today, maybe they'll turn today, maybe they'll turn today. They're not turning. I need to wake them up.
Amen.
We had terrorists crash planes into buildings. We had an economic crash. We had leaders of our nation quote the very curse that the nation of Israel quoted when they were attacked. And we did nothing. We'll come back stronger and better. Nobody will ever do that to us again. We reacted in defiance instead of repentance.
Amen.
You know, we do that individually just as well as we did it nationally. When God shines the light on the sin in us, we either make an excuse for it or we deny it. Or we just stomp our foot in the ground and say, no, that don't apply to me. It's time we open our eyes. We sing a song around here, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We don't need to see with physical eyes. We need to see with spiritual eyes. We need to see illuminated by the light of the Scripture. We need to see the truth. We need to react to the truth. We don't need to react to our fantasies that we're okay. We don't need to react to our fantasies that somebody else is worse than me. We don't need to react to that stuff. What we need to react to is the light of the truth of God shining into a dark corner in our heart and say, "Oh my God, that's me. I see now, God, where what I have been doing, what I have been thinking is sin. I see now where hiding in my closet hoping it'll all go away is sin because you've called me to speak and to act and to do." It's time for us to get out of our fantasy world and get into the world of the Spirit. Who's born again in this house this morning?
Amen.
Who has the Spirit of the living God living in them this morning?
Amen.
You've got everything you need.
Amen.
From that point, when you are born again, you are bought with a price and you are not your own. That's what Scripture tells us, right? You've been bought with a price, you're not your own. That means that you are beholden to someone, to the one who has bought you. And your value to that person is dictated by the price that was paid for you. Don't you know that even though one drop would have been sufficient for the world, every drop of blood in Jesus' body was spent to pay for you? Not us corporately, you. Me, individually. God places a great value on us. What kind of return on investment is He getting? What kind of return on His investment is God giving? He sacrificed His Son to save you. What are you giving back to the building of the kingdom of the living God? But I go to church every Sunday. And millions of lost people in this country go to church every Sunday. And probably the vast majority of them think they're all right because they're going to church every Sunday. That ain't enough. I read my Bible every once in a while. That ain't enough. I read my Bible every day. Still not enough. But I pray. I work at the food pantry. I pick up cigarette butts in the parking lot. I witnessed to one of my friends once, I think it was 1984. Not enough. Everything we can do is not truly enough to pay Him back. And it's not about paying Him back. It's about reacting in gratitude to what He has done. You see, He gave it all for me. He gave it all for each and every one of you. What should we do in return? What's right? What's fitting? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice has no life of its own. A sacrifice has no destiny of its own. It is to be dedicated fully, completely, and wholly to that to which it is sacrificed. Are we not supposed to be giving everything back to God first? He'll let you have yours back. He'll take care of you. He'll let you have some enjoyment in your life. But first and foremost, we owe it all to Him. What are we waiting on? What are we being selfish and greedy about? Don't you think that He's right and proper when He says, "Wake up, son, what are you doing? Hey, remember me? I bought you with the blood of my Son. I bought you." Where's your gratitude? Remember those 10 lepers? 10 lepers, and Jesus healed them. As they went away, they healed them. How many turned back to say, "Thank you, Lord"? One. Like the nine, We're content with what God can give us, what God can do for us. Can I, will you give me? You've heard that before, haven't you? Can I, will you give me? Where is Hineni? Here am I, Lord. Send me. What do you need done? Send me. What do you want me to do? Send me. You see, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's about our reaction in gratitude. It's about our faith in believing that He can do all things through us. Doesn't matter if we're a cracked pot or a bent knife or a broken vessel of any kind. Doesn't matter if you're a crackpot. Some of us are. God uses them too. It's time we let our light shine. It's time we were a city set on a hill. It's not a lamp hidden under a bushel. It's time for us to dig out of the muck and mire that we've been hiding in. It's time for us to rip off the masks that we've been hiding behind. It's time for us to stand up and be who we're called to be. If you've been sitting, stand up if you can. Because I'm going to ask for a response to this, and we're not going to do any music for an altar call. We don't have to play those silly church games. We don't have to have the right lighting and the right atmosphere. We don't have to have the right piece of music playing. We don't need to hide behind the fact that every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've been holding out on God, these altars are open. If you've been holding out, if you've not been doing everything, if you have not put Him first, if you have not let Him use you, if you've been hiding behind a mask of any kind, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come to these altars and I want you to leave it there. We don't need. What are you waiting on, by the way? I can preach while you're walking.
Go ahead.
What are we waiting on? What have we been holding back on? What are we not doing that we should do? What are we doing that we should not do? We've got to start being the church. We've got to start being God's called and chosen people for this season that we live in. We got to quit living the fantasy that everything's all right, that everything's fine, that none of this can touch me, that it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter if I don't do anything. Get over it. If God bought you, you owe Him.
Go ahead.
Father God, I come to you today on behalf of your people, in particular on the behalf of New Hope Church. And Father, I just offer this place, these people, every heart, every mind, every life that you have bought and paid for, including my own, I offer it to you, Lord, to be a living sacrifice, to be something that can be used by God, to be something that will advance the kingdom. Lord, let us be a people to stand in the gap and fill the gap so the hordes of the enemy cannot come in through the breach. Let us defend the gates, Lord. Let us stand as watchmen on the towers beside the gate to see the approach of the enemy and sound the warning and sound the call to arms so that we can defeat the works of the devil. Father, let us be your church. We want to quit playing games. We want to quit wearing masks. We want your anointing to flow through this people and to ooze out of this people as we walk out of this building. Let the anointing, let the oil, let the presence, let the kavod, the presence, the tangible presence of the living God go with us. Let us accomplish your work. Let us learn and follow your will. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Let these bones that you have broken be healed. Breathe life into the dry bones in the valley. Let fire and wind and anointing, let it flow from this place. Restore, Lord, your grain and your new wine and your oil, every provision that your people need. for body, soul, and spirit. Lord, let us not forget this day. Start a new work in this place, in this hour, at this moment. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God, flow into this people, and more importantly, flow out of this people. Kumi Adonai, arise and take control in these last days. We thank you. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Son of man, can these dry bones live?
Time to live again, church. As we leave this place this morning, Lord, grant that we don't leave the way that we came in. Father, breathe fire into every breast. Father, let your spirit be awakened and pulled out of that box in a trunk hidden away in the attic behind last year's Christmas decorations. Holy Spirit, flow out of us all. Holy Spirit, have your way with New Hope Church and with all that we touch. Go with us as we leave this place. And Father, those who have embraced the change, reinforce it and protect it and guard it. Those who have not embraced the change, Holy Spirit, work conviction in their hearts. And don't let them, Father, be able to get away from that which you are speaking into their spirit. Pursue them, Lord, as you pursue each of us and draw us to yourself. We thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.